Hey, friends, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I am your host, Lindsay Sutherland, and today is another amazing guest episode. Joining us, we have Dr. Christiana Schroeder. She's a business and wellness coach and the founder of Hello Happiness. And today, I want to invite you to really dig in and stick around for this full episode because we're going to talk about simple, small steps that you can make that can make a huge impact in your life and in your business. And that's what Dr. Christiana is here to talk about. So thanks for joining us. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this. And they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them, or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lindsay. I'm really excited. Of course, audience, this is going to be super fitting for the season, for the stress you might be experiencing. So we're going to give you some really hands-on experiences here today.
I love it. Well, always invite guests to kick it off. Just tell us a little about your story and kind of how did you come to this place of serving humanity in the way you do?
Yeah, I love that question. You could maybe hear from my name or from my accent. Came from Germany. And I think that what we're going to talk about today is actually super fitting because when I came from Germany, one of the first things I noticed was the hustle culture in the United States. And that's maybe like uncommon. If you come from Europe, we're really prioritizing. We always think like we work to enjoy our life, right? Where in the United States, it's sometimes the opposite, like we live to work. And I think for me, that was so important to always combine those two elements. So I'm a business and wellness coach, and I work as a professor in the classroom where I teach business, innovation, entrepreneurship, and marketing. But at the same time, I very much prioritize asking questions about their lives. What's the best part of your day is one of my favorite questions that I ask my students, and really connecting with them and feeling where are they at in their business journey and where they're at also in their mindfulness journey, because both of them need to be aligned to really be successful.
I agree. That's powerful. That's something I like to ask my kids. I heard that somewhere, like, what's the highlight of your day? You know, kids don't always like to share. That's fine. School's fine. It's boring, whatever. But when I ask it that way, it kind of forces them to think about something good. And that changes the mindset. So that's really powerful. I love that. But you take your, so you're a professor and also you work with an entrepreneurs on like a coaching basis too. And so when they're working with you, what is the main, I don't know, what's the main problem you solve? I guess I'm asking is that for the entrepreneurs?
Confidence, lack of confidence. It's very simple. It always comes back down to that. It could be that you are that high achiever that knows a lot, but the lack of confidence prevents you going to that next stage. So you're just kind of spinning in circles, looking at your product, looking at your service and aiming for perfection, which will never happen. Or you feel an imposter syndrome to what you have is not good enough for the market. And I always say, just look at it as it is today and think it's good for this right now. And we're just going to take a small step and we're just going to get started. And I think that as an entrepreneur, that is so great when somebody tells you that, because sometimes we just need that person to say, you just gotta let go. Just let it go and put that out in the marketplace, because as an entrepreneur, you will never get perfection. And
That's so
that's not
true.
what we're here for, right?
Well, and it's easy to look at, our competitors in the same space that we're in. Something I've been seeing a lot is, and I've been guilty of it too, I think it's something we all experience, is when we're siloed in our genre, so whatever it may be, we see all the other people doing the thing we're doing. But we forget that our audience is not seeing all those people. Like, if they're just new to a certain thing, they may, for example, I was talking to a lady yesterday who's developing a course, and she's a lighting consultant. Like, it's literally a very specific thing. And she said, "Why would anybody want a course from me? There's already free courses doing this." And there, she said, they're just very technical. And she went in it. And I thought, because nobody else knows about that. I mean, unless you're already in that space and you're just a homeowner who wants to learn something about lighting for your home, or you're a landscaper and you want to add a leg of your business, like, that's a whole genre of people who've never heard of lighting the way you're offering it. But we all do that. We silo ourselves, and it creates that lack of confidence, like you're saying, where we think, I'm not enough, or look what they're doing. And we want to like eat the elephant instead of taking one bite at a time. Of course, I don't know really anybody who actually eats elephants, but that's a phrase.
Else, I think about that too. So there's two sentences I always say, Lindsay. One of them is, it's all been said and done before, because that might be the one voice on your shoulder telling you, and that's when we feel that imposter syndrome. And on the other shoulder is the voice that says, but nobody said it like you. So keep in mind, of course, it's all been said and done before. Nothing is ever new, right? It's not like you are truly ever innovating something that's like completely new in this world. You're basically putting your own unique twist on it. So even though it's been said and done before, when you do say and do it, it's still different. And there will be a market out there that needs it just like you do it. So keep that in mind.
So true. It is so true. Well, you mentioned too that you have a specific framework. And one of the things I really like about your approach is how you take things into that bite-size thing, which is kind of where I was going with the whole elephant reference, because I know so many entrepreneurs are so ambitious. That's what truly drives us to be who we are. But in that same token, sometimes we can try to like achieve the globe, and what we really need to do is just take a step. And so part of your framework and your system is to slow us down and learn to just embrace the baby steps. And I'd like to learn more about how you do that.
Yeah, so I have a name for the baby steps. I call it petite practice. Petite, small, and practice are those steps that we take where we may be going and we are exploring something we are not super familiar with. And what I'm going to walk you through is the approach that I'm using, which is actually, if you think about petite practice, and I love that you named it baby steps, it's actually STEP for steps. So STEP will be our acronym that we're going to walk through here today. And I use that same acronym and the same framework also in my TEDx talk. So if you want to see me on stage talking about this with even more examples of how I use this with my students, with my clients, in my own life, TEDx talk will lead you all there. So let's get started with that S. So the S is simplifying. Frequently, we feel we have that big elephant in front of us. But in reality, as you mentioned, it just takes one small step or bite or however you want to call that to get started. And that's the simplification. You can take your big goal, but break it down into these small steps and then choose the step that feels right for you to get started with today before you change your mind. So that's S for simplify. So important in our life. We overcomplicate things unnecessarily.
It's true. Yeah, I agree 100% with that. It's definitely been something I've struggled with. And then the backside of that, and maybe this leads into the, I don't know your whole framework, but maybe this leads into it, is then feeling comfortable knowing that you've done enough with that S, simplification, and being able to be satisfied with that, that was okay. I did work hard. It's not that I didn't work hard enough. I did enough.
Yeah, it's going to be so if you think about I'm giving you like a little sneak preview, now. So the S is the simplification. The P is actually praise the progress. So that's on the other side of our word right here,
Yeah,
the
makes sense.
praising part.
Figured
So
you
let's
had
move
it in
on.
there somewhere.
Yeah, that's praising is important. So the T stands for tell. Once we broke it down, you have those steps and you choose the step that feels right for you. You have to tell somebody else how you're going to get started and when are you going to get started and that you're getting started. Because by telling somebody else, you build accountability, but you're also speaking out your goal into existence and it makes your goal real. It brings it into that present moment that you really need just to make it for you visual, realistic, and it feels right. You're like, I'm actually doing this. Think about an entrepreneur that lives at home as a solopreneur and feels like they're in a vacuum. Just saying it out loud already kind of gets into that vacuum and gets momentum going.
Yeah, that reminds me when I years ago I used to sell Mary Kay. I don't know if you guys you have Mary Kay in Germany, yes. Are you in Germany right now?
No, I'm a professor in California.
Okay, but I was gonna say you're dressed very warmly. I thought maybe it's really cold. Anyway, so years ago, and I was selling Mary Kay, I struggled because I was so busy that I could easily just let that little part of my dream go because I was working full time and all of that. And I made a promise to myself to just tell one person a day about what I was doing. I didn't need an attachment to the outcome. It was just simply my only job was to tell one person. And it's amazing because that little tiny commitment. And it was sometimes it was very awkward, I'll admit. Like I would be like, oh shoot, it's the end of the day. I'm on my way home. I had to stop by Target to get diapers or something like that. I've got to tell somebody. So I'd swing through the makeup aisle and I'd find a reason to talk to one human. But I was committed to that one step. And it was amazing because that actually started to help me build the traction. So to your point, I think that's a really powerful piece that maybe gets a little bit overlooked or doesn't given the weight that I think it really actually deserves.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly right. You have that promise that you made to yourself, and by telling others, you're don't even like have to tell 100 people per day, just by one, you're building that momentum. Yeah. So the E, so we had the simplify, tell, coming to the E now for examine. So you have to think what worked, what felt good, and how am I going to progress forward? And it's totally fine to also think what didn't work because you don't want to keep doing those things that didn't work. I think in life, we frequently just keep moving forward and we keep looking into the future and actually thinking, well, why don't I look at the past month or the past week and see what felt really good there and what actually built momentum? And then you can use that knowledge and build out the future before you just plug random things into the future, not knowing anything about the past, right? And that is so important because you want to be smart and you want to be, building a company smarter. And not working harder, but just working smarter. So
Well,
the
and I like
examine
that
is very
step.
important.
Yeah. And also invites us to really embrace our truth because sometimes I think we bunny trail from what we were doing that was in our zone, I would say, like in our, not so much in our comfort zone, because I do agree we do need to step out of our comfort zone, but there are certain things that align better with us as an individual versus a different strategy that you might see a guru touting or the fear of missing out. If I don't do this thing, then I'm gonna not be as successful. And what you're saying, and I'm hearing you say essentially is let's look back and say, like, what was working for you? Don't worry so much about what was working necessarily for all the other people, because that may not be the thing that was going to work for you. So that's a really good insight.
Yeah, and it also taps in, of course, with the superpower. So one of my books is called Discover Your Superpower. And people always ask me, it's like, oh, so when I read the book, I'll actually like find out at the end. And I said, like, yeah, that's kind of the goal. But also the goal is that you're then using your superpower and aligning your business around it. Because knowing what you're really good at and examining that will make your future much easier because you can actually propel your future based on your best skills. So that's truly, I have a PhD in economics. That's, we are moving in economics and we applying what we learned and becoming more efficient and becoming much more knowledgeable about what we have to share with the world, right? So it's come to that P, that praise progress. So now you made some momentum. You actually captured some of these goals, some of these steps, and now you have to celebrate. And that is even maybe something that you have to share with the world as well, because building momentum, taking action, but praising progress all ties in with keeping on going, going back to the simplify, the tell, the examine, and the praise, and using this as a cycle that you can just use, a flywheel that keeps building momentum and builds progress. So P for praise progress, tremendously important.
That's a really great framework. Is that something that, like, when people work with you, how do you take it deeper with them? I'm not asking you to take us deeper, but I'm just saying, like, what's the gap here? Where, what more could we get if we worked with you directly?
Yeah, so I'm actually publishing a new book, comes out early December on a National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, December 4th.
I didn't
I
know
always
that
have,
was a thing.
well, and see, this is like the person that I am. I'm very much into the, oh, right, we have to choose like fun little events in our life, right? So that's one of the events in my life. I felt like I need to choose something very sweet to have something to look forward to, like a little treat. And that's my book launch day. And in that book, I'm actually going through that step framework to help you to step into your voice. So remember how we started this conversation talking about confidence and feeling you have self-doubt and you don't quite feel you're ready. That's exactly what the book will address. Stepping into your voice also means that you get the confidence to actually speak up and share your knowledge in a way that it becomes your unique value proposition.
I love that. That's powerful. Very, very good. Okay, so when we're talking about going back to the beginning, the simplify, you're basically saying, just to kind of recap, we take a goal and we're going to simplify our goal into smaller steps. We're going to talk to people about our goal and we're going to evaluate what's worked for us in the past or how we can achieve our goal, and then we're going to just focus on praising the progress. And ultimately, if we just keep employing that order of events, I suppose you could say, that we will start to build traction in our business further, is what you're saying.
Yeah, step by step, right? STEP and keep going. One step and one step and building it and really feeling that you're actually learning and you're moving and you're sharing. And alone, when I, as I said, when I presented my TEDx talk and I practiced it, it was just amazing to see how people resonated with that and how they kept reflecting on their own lives and how they felt they changed. And they didn't really exactly use that framework, but they were like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is like bringing up something very deep and emotional for me right now. And so it was beautiful that they now then had a framework to put the to label what already happened in their lives. And they're like, I love that, this is really cool and meaningful. And I was like,
Yes.
this is sweet, this is what you want to do, right? You always want to feel like you can get a tool that will make you a better person, a better human.
Well, and I think back to your original point, I think it helps to embody confidence when you feel like you have some sort of onus of control over your process rather than just feeling like it's willy-nilly, which is where we start to feel doubt. I think that's what makes it so powerful. And also I'm curious too, you mentioned in your entry form to the podcast that you have struggled with, bridging the gap between the academia and real world application. And I'm curious to hear more, just a little bit about like your journey and how did you maybe apply this framework to your own life to help you?
Yeah, I think once you earn a PhD, the main goal is just getting papers out into scientific journals. And they're very much targeted towards an audience that maybe has a PhD or higher education degree, because that's the work that you did for the past years. And you are at that level to where you feel, I really want to share now part of my dissertation. And I loved doing all that. I always felt it was sometimes a little bit of a disconnect between that knowledge and then going back into the classroom and feeling, all right, so now I actually need to translate the knowledge and share that with the students. because I don't want to steal the knowledge from them. I still want to share this amazing finding from my dissertation and from my research. So I felt like I wasn't translating languages. I was just constantly translating knowledge from academia to more the applied level where a business owner could actually use it, because research should be shared. That's why we are doing it. It's not just like for a shelf or for a drawer, I call it, but it's actually really for the ears and for the eyes of your audience. And then what also came in was that the marketing class that I was teaching, I felt really needed to be elevated to the level of I'm sending out students that can start their own businesses. They have all the tools and they are just ready to hit the ground running. So then I started writing my own books. I always liked writing, and I wrote my dissertation. And I felt that writing a marketing book and doing just that, using my knowledge and translating them in a very visual, engaging, even audio way to tap into all learning styles will make it much more broad in terms of reaching an audience. I launched my podcast. So the podcast, the book. Then I really went into speaking. I mentioned my TEDx talk. And now I'm feeling I have more of a pinnacle framework, if you want, that lets me really share that knowledge with a wider audience and not just the ones that maybe pick up a journal article or that take a class with me. And that's really what happened, that at the beginning, I didn't quite see the connection. But then all of a sudden, I was like, well, I just have to make sure that I do the best that I'm already doing, and I just have to translate the knowledge and make it more applicable.
Well, and I think I've heard too more recently, more and more people are. I think actually there's a book I even bought it and I started. I need to finish it. It's called My Personal MBA. I don't remember the author's name, but I ran across him somewhere. I must have been like listening, you know, how you find people. And he was talking about how he had gone to business school. He'd gotten his MBA and realized that it really didn't teach him what he thought he needed as an entrepreneur. And he also found that so many people left business school to go be a CEO for somebody else's company rather than entrepreneurship, which is a whole nother level of a beast to tackle, I guess is what I'm saying. So I think it's great that you've been able to, you know, bridge that gap. I'm curious, have you found that more of your students are leaning more into entrepreneurship as a result of your empowerment?
Yeah, and on top of that, as I mentioned with the STEP framework and being a TEDx speaker, my ultimate goal is always in sharing them with them how I run my business, how I pitch myself for keynote talks, for books, for speaking on podcasts, so that they know you might apply to a lot of TEDx talks and you might get rejected from a lot of TEDx stages. You might write a book and you might notice halfway through that you need to modify something because some new research comes out. So I feel it's so important as an entrepreneur to realize we don't always have the on days. We have off days where we're realizing, maybe like I need to rethink this a little bit. And that is just so important for me that I run my business, I share about my business, and I want that they use it as a motivation to understand is they can fail because it's just their first attempt in learning. And I would like that they fail in college as
Right.
their first attempt in learning. Don't wait until you graduate. And frequently, I see, of course, the same themes of the business owners after they graduate from college again. So, like I mentioned, the number one issue, always the confidence, which is why I'm writing this book now, Step Into Your Voice, about confidence.
I love it. That's powerful. How many books have you written?
So, yeah, I have three published, and I love them. They're like a little family, they're all working together. They have their own little unique niches. It's the Master Your Goal book was the first. Discover your superpower, and then I have a planner, the Pity Practice Planner that goes along with it. Then after I finished my TEDx talk, I thought, oh, I should write a book about confidence and speaking. So that's going to be the Step Into Your Voice book. And then I'm also writing a book that ties it all together. That will be really Pity Practice and Steps. So part of what we talked about here today, but much more tied in even with my personal story. And with what I did to be a German high school student to turn into a TEDx speaker? Like, what steps did I really take to do that, and framing it more in terms of that knowledge that I used?
Yeah. So where is the best place for people to connect with you to carry this conversation further?
Yeah, so of course, check out my website, drchristiana.com, and check out my YouTube channel. I have some fun podcast recordings, even with some clients, with some students. And of course, I do solo episodes where I break down some economic concept into something super fun. And that's also dr.christiana. My podcast is called Happy Healthy Hustle, tying very much in with this episode here today.
I love it. Yeah, I definitely feel a shift of people who are leaning more into this more sustainable hustle culture, if that's even a thing, but versus the unsustainable where it's just kind of like you said, the work, what, how did you word it? Work to live, live to work. Yeah, live to work. Moving away from that. But it's also true that a lot of people are in a financial situation where they may have a W-2 and it's just not sustaining them. So they're looking for something that can supplement, and that's kind of how they get started. But doing that in an intentional way and then elevating beyond that and moving it into a full business, I think that's really important. That's very great. Well, thank you so much for joining the show and for sharing your insights and wisdom. I'm just curious, I guess my last thing is, how have you defined freedom in your life?
For me, it's important to feel that you have the ability to speak up and share your knowledge with the world, but also feel that you really tapped into that superpower so that you don't hold back, but you're actually sharing what makes you special, what makes you unique. I think that is really important to feel you're not, I always call it stealing from the world, but you're rather making the world or your little corner of the world a better place.
I love it. Thank you so much. What a good insight.
Thank you.